Over the course of that, we started just adding landscape, just naturally just adding to the look of the property. And this is where the variance that I spoke to, this is where we want to build our house. And through that process, when we started, like many small family-run operations, we were navigating complex permitting systems for the first time. We initially hosted limited private gatherings on our land with good faith, understanding that we were compliant. As soon as we realized the county required formal processes beyond what we had anticipated, we stepped back and began working transparently with the county staff to bring everything fully into alignment. Since then, we filed all required documents, studies, and applications in good faith, completed environmental noise and traffic reviews, participated in ongoing meetings with county planners and consultants, took measurable steps to show that we are willing to follow the law, not shortcut it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. How many events would you say you've had up till now?
I couldn't give you a number off the top of my head, because a lot of 30, that also 40? Included family. Like, we're Punjabi, so our weddings last like about a week. Mm-hmm. So, and that's all over a span of time, right? You know, there were a lot of events also held. My family, my dad has three other brothers. They're also from the Central Valley. All my cousins graduated.
Okay.
And, you know, so there were like, I don't exactly know in what context you're asking.
Like dozens of events, possibly?
We had events to celebrate family.
Okay. Yes. And when was the last event that you've had?
I think the context would be, I mean, you want to run this as a commercial operation. There's nothing to prevent someone from having an event at their home for family to celebrate anything.
Right.
I think the concern from what I see in the questions that may come up is, are you running this as a business?
And perfect.
I think you do want to run this as a business. And so the question I think that Commissioner Arabian had or has is, when was the last time you
had a commercial event?
A commercial event, not family.
One that
event,
you took money for, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
okay.
June 21st.
June 21st? Yes. So that just a few days ago. What are we today?
No.
Say it's the 26th.
Okay. Probably we should have if he's going to speak, have him state his name and address for the record.
Okay.
Just instead of having two people,
right.
But I appreciate him coming up to answer the question.
I'm very sorry. My name is Gurjan Khosa. Mm-hmm. I'm the father, and I live at 421 East South Avenue.
Okay.
In Fowler, California.
Thank you. So answer
Mr. Arabian's question. Since we applied, it's been 2 years, and this application shouldn't have taken more than 9 months to get completed. Unfortunately, like my son said, that Elliot resigned or he went on to another position, and we lost all the communication that we had with him. Then we had to start scratch with Mr. Shah. And Mr. Shah has been nothing but excellent, excellent planner. And so in the meantime, while we're developing it, fortunately or unfortunately, we had a really good response for the venue. And yes, we started holding events, and there were some commercial events, and many of them were also families and friends. We have a neighbor here in the audience that can attest to that there were events that were held without a cost. And there's a letter, and it should be in the file, that states that they held an event at our place without a cost. So to answer your question, yes. I'm going to be honest with you. Yes, we have held events that were commercialized.
Where you charged money then, right?
To charge them money, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then you kind of figured out that's not quite the proper process, and then you just decided to now do it on the, you know, through the right process is what you're...
As soon as you find out that we need to file an application, mm-hmm. I went to the planning department right away and spoke to the individuals who are, Albert is one of them. There's a couple other guys. And they helped me and guide me through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And before we filed the application, I went around personally with my wife, with my neighbors, and I got their blessing, because in order to file the application for a CUP, it costs $16,000 or $17,000. That's just an application fee. So I explained to my neighbors, our most closest neighbor is Patty Simonian, who just crossed the street. So we went to their near, to their house, and we had a meeting with them. And we got their blessing that go ahead and apply for it. It should it will be okay with us to have the event center next door to us. And then I applied for it. And then we started the process going through it. And we start developing it as we go through it.
Okay. I noticed one, there was a Simonia name that was in opposition and a Simonia name that was in support. Are they related or are they?
To answer that question, they are related. The property is under Patty Simonian's name. I have an MLS report that further confirms that. So I think that
Jeff is the son of Patty.
Right.
Which one was against it?
Jeff Simonian.
Okay. And the other one was?
The property owner is for it, though.
Yeah.
The property owner is Patty Simonian, across the street,
okay.
Who owns the property.
If we could go back to one speaker at a time.
I'm done. I'm good.
Okay. Are there any other questions of the applicant or the speaker?
Which
speaker do you wish to answer?
It doesn't matter.
we'll start with you.
So it sounds like the ones that, so the neighbors that you did speak with are all adjacent then to your property.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct. All adjacent neighbors, half a mile radius, have signed petitions in favor for the establishment of the Sunset Acres.
Okay, and any that were opposed are further away?
Yes.
Correct?
1.4 miles.
Okay. Precisely.
And then you've also added, I saw in here, that as far as light pollution, you're going to be putting in hooded lights, so the lights are going to be facing down. Besides, you said you're going to be planting trees and stuff, but you're also going to be putting in hooded lights. Is that correct?
Correct. We're going to put hooded lights. They're already downward angled, and they're going to be fully compliant with Fresno County's lighting requirements. It's just to light the walkway so that even for us or my mom when she's there by herself at night, there's some light in the parking lot that is downward face just for her to see where she's walking and anybody else that's walking there.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Yeah. Back to that lighting issue. So all the lights that you're going to be putting up, how many is that?
For the parking lot, there are four lights.
Four?
Yes.
And they're going to operate 24/7?
No.
No, sir.
Or, excuse me, at night?
Only during events.
Okay.
Literally. So they're never left on overnight. Overnight, the property is dark.
Okay. Well, you had mentioned something about lighting for your grandmother or whatever, so I was...
Yeah, the purpose of the installation of the lighting was to provide anybody that is there walking to be able to turn on the light and see where they're walking and get to their car safely. But during events and after the event, the lights will be turned off completely and there's no lights on at all.
Okay.
Any other questions? Commissioner Carver? Or Commissioner Carver, then Commissioner Hill.
I noticed in the... operational statement and in the report there was parking, but on the plans I don't see where the parking is going to exist. Can you point with a pointer?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah, so as right here it's labeled parking area.
Okay.
It's right here. So like we've specifically designed this to make sure that the event venue traffic is in constant. It's designed so that we engulf all the parking so that on the main road you don't have people that are lining up. They all turn in into this parking area.
Okay. And then the second question is there was a lot of comments about the use of porta potties, but then we also see a proposed restroom and maintenance building on this as well. So can you just speak to the timing of this and when is the permit for this restroom building already underway?
I'll step back for the public record and let my father, John Cosa, answer this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So this was proposed by the Environmental Health to have permanent bathrooms. So we do have plans being drafted by CBAS, young lady here, Elvia. They're working on it. We should be submitting it within a couple of weeks. They're with Title 24 and structural engineer right now.
Mm-hmm. So that is not part of what we're talking about today, or is it?
It's going to be part of the CUP because the environmental health requires it.
Okay. The other comment I had is in the operational statement, the language around operational hours and trips for traffic were kind of ranges. Typically, we see a more defined hours of operation between this time and this time, these days of the week. And in the operational statement, it said, typically between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. is the event. But we know that operations would happen outside of the event time. And so I think one of the things that I'd like to see in an operational statement is more clarity and definition, because that is what, as a business owner, you're going to be held to by the community, by Fresno County, after, say, this gets approved, right? And so if you have operations happening at Sunset Acres outside of 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., then the county or the neighbors could come back with a complaint because it's not part of the operational statement. So I think that's like a word of, like, maybe there needs to be some more definition or like more clarity in the operational statement, because that's what will be, you'll be held to indefinitely with this if it gets approved.
Navani Kosa. Okay. So respectfully, what exactly are you asking me right now? Are you just saying that, like, outside of operational, like, setup, is that what you want me to define? Like, tables and chairs operationally, or?
Cause in the operational statement, you have to put times of operation.
Okay.
Okay. And currently it's written 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., typically Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
I think what we're looking for, and I would recommend, is more definition to our operational hours are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Something more definition to that.
Yes, we will take care of that. Okay. I know what you want to see.
But
staff needs to respond to that.
One thing I'll add related to Commissioner Carver's question is, as mitigation measure number 4, all amplified speech music shall conclude by 10 p.m. And that's a mitigation measure that they have to abide by.
Yeah, but operations, like, sure, the music gets turned off at 10, but there's still going to be people there cleaning up. So, like, the place is still open after 10 p.m. But if their operational statement says that everything is done at 10 p.m., then the later on down the road, neighbors could complain that there's people there and there's operations happening after 10 p.m. So that's what I'm saying. In order for them to operate in the ways that they, I think, want to operate, this operational statement probably needs to be amended.
It could, or you can add a condition to limit the hours of operation, including cleanup, after the event has concluded, to a specific window, if you wanted to.
I just want to add, now I understand what you're saying, Carver. In my head, like, the analogy that I formed is like, okay, you have Vons, they close at 12, right? But, like, after that, they have stocking going on. So does that mean, like, they're not operating as a grocery store, they're just taking care of in-house things? So I think that's why I use 6 to 10. But we can further refine that to show that, you know, if we're cleaning up, maybe we're cleaning up till 11, and, you know, we just have staff there cleaning up. But that doesn't mean that an event is operating. I see. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, hours of operation are just when people are there working.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
to me, that's a little different, though. If you said hours of operation, I wouldn't include the cleanup as being an issue. If you said, well, let's add another hour so that'll cover the employees and people working there. Well, if you say now the hours of operation is 6 to 11, then the event can go to 11 o'clock.
So, I mean, in other ones, we've also seen in event applications, we've also seen hours of operation and hours of events. Events will, I mean, it has been specifically stated, all events will be over and done and shut down by 10 p.m. or 9:45 p.m. or whatever. But the hours of operations are larger than that. I don't know. Because you're going to have traffic coming and going outside of 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So it's just like being realistic with what the operation
is. I agree. I think I should have added that. My apologies. But yeah, I can definitely edit that and make it more thorough, because sometimes if I'm there cleaning up, some days I'm more tired than, you know, other days. So it's going to take me a little bit longer. So I would honestly appreciate another hour if you guys would be willing to grant that, just so we have some, you know, time to work with. But just going off of Ms. Carver's comments.
Maybe we can get back to that and
no problem.
Finish with the people in support and then hear those opposed. And we can, there'll be opportunity during rebuttal to ask those questions too.
Sure.
Commissioner Quist, yes.
Could we go to the existing land use map?
We don't actually have an existing land use map. Apologize, we just have the aerials.
Is it in
the... There should be one in the packet, however.
Oh, okay. So we don't have it on a exhibit four in your pack, or if you have.
Yeah,
a
I've got exhibit four. I was just hoping we would have it on the screen.
We removed it for brevity from the PowerPoint presentation, because it's in the packet.
You can put it on.
We're going to try an attempt to put it on the projector.
Okay. Yeah. Appreciate that.
I got it.
Good job, Jason.
While they're putting that on the projector, I want to go back to a question that was asked earlier regarding when the violation was filed. The violation was filed on June 22nd, 2023.
23?
Yeah, 2023.
Okay, if I may, if we look at that, so that parcel we're talking about, is that the only parcel that you folks own in this neighborhood?
If you could specify which parcel you're asking.
Well, the parcel that you're wanting the variance and et cetera, the CUP on.
Not that one, right? It's this one. Okay. Yeah, subject property legend.
All
yes.
Right. This that is the subject one that property. Own. You own any of the properties in the near neighborhood?
No, the surrounding properties are not owned by us. But
Okay. So, for example, there's a vineyard just to the west, right?
This one and this one.
Well, you got an orchard on one side. You got a vineyard on the other side.
Right. Okay. Vineyard right here.
Do you have supporting docs from them? Both those property owners.
Yes, sir. All adjacent properties, agricultural and neighboring, have signed petitions that support the establishing of the Sunset Acres.
Okay. All right. I think that's what I wanted some specificity regarding who your supporting folks are and where they are in relation to your facility. Thank you.
No problem, sir.
Question.
Commissioner Hill, question?
Who will you have to monitor or regulate the sound? Because you and I know that sometimes sound here carries way out. And so I know you have something about having a monitor, but who's going to control that when it gets above, or who's going to monitor in your events for that?
It would either be me, my father, or my mother, or a security personnel who would be taught hands-on first how to operate it and how to decipher the numbers. It would be from three specific points for sure that were included in the noise study, the 3 points that they conducted the noise study from, so we have something to go based off of, and the decibel monitor that we would be using to monitor the sound level is the same one that is used by the sheriff, so it complies into the guidelines of what a decibel monitor is definitively defined by. Mm-hmm. By the Fresno County, but those are the individuals who would be conducting that. And usually before it even starts, I'll do like a sound test to, you know, let them know that this is the limit and, you know, that's that.
Okay. Because a lot of times events, they say they're going to do it, but they don't do it, don't have. So it sounds like you have it
right
under
and
control,
to further
but
add
I'd be
on,
a monitor person to take care
yes, ma'am.
Of the complaints and, of the neighbors and stuff.
Okay. Correct. And to further add on to that, I know some people might not say they, you know, they'll do it, but they don't do it. We do it. I have video evidence of each single one from the 3 points that showcases the venue in the background and the point that I'm taking the video from, and I can provide those if requested.
Okay. And then the dust. Usually it's the sound and the dust. So you've got the roads paved with something that going in and out.
Correct. There's no dust that's produced from cars entering. That is due to walnut shells being placed on the land, which keeps all the dust down, even during high winds.
Will you have the security services at all events, the ones that you hire out and family and things of that nature?
Yes, no matter what.
How many do you usually are planning to employ or say?
It differentiates between each security company because they want to make sure that their personnel is also protected. Mm-hmm. So it will span based on who, you know, you vendor out with, but it's usually a certain amount per, like, what, guest count.
Now, regarding the lot, it's a rectangular lot. Why you're wanting to split it in half, take and make it two parcels? Why can't you? Because I know a lot of families that build on the parcel that is the event, and they don't have a dividing line, but yet they're there to monitor, to watch, or whatever. And so, why would that not be usable for you? Because even though you want your family close, and but having a line there, really, I can't see the benefit of splitting that for that.
I think you're saying because they can do it by right anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can build a house anyway.
Okay.
What's the significance of the
correct
line?
Understood. I'll step back and let Gurjan Khosa answer this.
Gurjan Khosa, yes, I consulted with my lawyer, and we were discussing the venue and building the house next door. So he made a recommendation that I should split the parcel in case somebody sues me while they get hurt at the venue. And then, because my house is going to be 8,500 square feet, I'm almost going about $3 to $4 million. So he doesn't want anybody going after my house. That's the reason to split the parcel, to protect myself from future lawsuits.
So will it be in two different entity names?
Correct. Oh.
Couldn't you put your house into an LLC or something like that?
Well, I don't think that's really up to us to
we can't go
try
into
to resolve that.
That it just didn't make any sense to me why we should have that lot. But
I wouldn't go through the pain and the financial burden if I could do it otherwise. Mm.
Let me ask staff, while they have the right to add a second residence, wouldn't there be a limit to the square footage? Is it 2,000 square feet?
That's correct. If they were to add a second residence as the parcel is currently configured, they would be limited to one of the residents needing to be 2,000 square feet or less.
Yeah, it sounds like the first one is...
It'd be less.
And you probably, if you're going to build a house for your family, you're not going to go under 2,000 square feet.
Do you know how many square feet the existing home is?
I don't know that really makes a difference either, but go ahead. I did bring it up. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably 1,800 to 2,000 square feet.
Oh, I'm.
So it would,
I stand
would
corrected
suffice
then.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, good question. All right, well,
Chairman,
can
I ask a question? Yes. And Mr. Khosa, I apologize. I had to miss part of your presentation, so forgive me if you already covered this. But under the operational statement, you note that, and this is sort of building on the points of questions from Commissioner Quist, but there's going to be unhindered use of farming practices, and including spraying. And I know you stated you have letters of support from the surrounding property owners, but have you heard any concerns about, you know, spraying with, you know, a large number of guests there? If there, you know, are operations outside of that 6 to 10 p.m. range?
No, we have not had any complaints. The the owner who surrounds my property is 27 acres, and I usually communicate with him ahead of time whenever there's an event. So so we're in good relationship with each other, so he doesn't come around, spray or anything like that.
And he does include a letter of Navneet Khosa. He does include a letter, you know, I believe under Exhibit 11, where he signs off stating that he supports it and has no hindrance under Jagrup Singh.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So he purchased the property in 21, right?
Yes.
And you had a violation or a someone called in, complained, or what have you, in 23? Was that right? Okay. How many events, paid events, would you say you've had in the last 12 months?
Probably 10.
And when did you start the permit process and going through all this?
I stated earlier, March 23rd, 2023. I believe I could be wrong on the number of March, though.
In 23.
March 23.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions of either speaker? Did you have anything else to add at this time?
No, not at this time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Right, thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate it.
Is there anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Yes. I believe we have neighbors here. My father will speak first. And then my mother will follow after that. And then neighbors that are here to support, if that's okay.
Okay, well, I'll ask them one at a time.
Okay, right on.
Thank you.
No problem.
Good morning, Honorable Commissioners. My name is Gurjan Singh Khosa, and I reside at 421 East South Avenue, Fallow, California. First of all, I sincerely thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today regarding the conditional use permit and variance application for our property located at 8853 South Fowler Avenue in Fowler. My family immigrated to the United States from Punjab, India in 1978, an agriculture region often called the breadbasket of the country, just like California Central Valley. For families like mine, farming is more than an occupation. It's a generational calling. That's why so many Punjabi families have settled in Fresno County. My own family bought our first farm here in 1986 in Crothers. We have proudly remained active in agriculture ever since. Although I served in public service for 37 years and a half, retiring as a postmaster of Pleasanton, I never lost connection to the valley. For 25 years, I made weekly or twice a week trips from Pleasanton to Fresno to manage my farm and other properties. I could have built my life and invested elsewhere, but I choose to keep my investment in Fresno County because of my deep ties to this land and the community. In 2021, we purchased the 10.5 acres parcel where the Sunset Acres is located. This land had not been actively farmed for decades, which made it ideal for residential development. We specifically chose this site so we wouldn't have to remove productive farmland from our other orchards. We are now seeking approval for the conditional use permit for the venue and a variance to split the parcel into two halves. One half will be dedicated to Sunset Acres and the other half will be for our future retirement home. The building permit for the new residence has already been approved under permit number 2023-017138-000-00FC. And we are now waiting for the variance approval to move forward. Some concerns have been raised about the impact on farmland. I want to be absolutely clear. I am a lifelong farmer, and protecting farmland has always been a priority for me and my family. We have been farming in this valley for nearly 40 years. Every decision we made, including the development of the Sunset Acres, has been made with care, respect, and agriculture preservation in mind. I respectfully ask your support of our conditional use permit and variance request so that we can continue to build our life here in the way that honors our past, protect our farmland, contribute positively to the community. Thank you very much for your time and thoughtful consideration.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Good morning, everybody. I'm the one who's behind this. So now I'm thinking about this because first I'm going to introduce myself. I live at 421 East South Fowler Avenue. My name is Preet Khosa, and I wanted to thank you guys to allow me to speak today here. And first and foremost, when we purchased this property, it was not an agricultural land, as my husband states. It was empty land and no established orchards or crops, so we specifically choose not to interfere, and I was the big supporter that I'm not going to live in bigger acreage because it's going to be in the middle, and also we have to take some orchards out. So we chose not to do that. We had an option to do that. So when we found this empty land, we were very thrilled that we don't have to mess with any agriculture. It's just empty. It's just sitting there. Our original intent was to build a home for our family, and which still is. And we are still in progress of building that home. And there was an existing house on the property, and we hope to live in that house temporarily. So it's easier to monitor our house while it's getting built next door. It's convenience because we moved from Tracy as my husband retired. We needed some place to live also, so we can be close to this house. But it wasn't suitable for my mother. I'm an only child, too, so I'm her sole responsibility. So I felt really bad, and we did not put too much thought into it. We were so excited just about the empty land. There is the stairs all around the patio of the house. And we brought her in, and she just hurt her knees and stuff like that. So it was not possible for her. Especially, I'm still working. My husband is in and out all day. So for her safety was really a big concern for us. So we could not live into that house. And it became a really challenge because what do we do with this property, at least for this part? So while we were paying for the property tax, figuring out the next steps, being in a healthcare, I always had a passion for interior design. I always shared with my husband. When I retire in medical field, I want to pursue something. This property has a lot of nature decor. And we have trees that are 100 years old in there. And my husband said, you know, either we cut the trees, I'm planting orchards, being a farmer, because that's what we are also still doing around our house. We are doing orange trees. But I didn't have it in me to cut that 100-year-old trees that we have three or four of them. They are the beauty of the property. That's how this project got started, because I wanted to preserve it. So that is, and then the old house that we have, it still has a head and a mouthpiece. That's how old that house is. When I show it to the younger generation that has never seen it, they get so excited about it because they have never seen that. When the people come for the tours, the old folks, they get so excited. That reminds them of their grandmother's house, of their house. And so when I start seeing that kind of feedback, it really, really even made me be strong about it. And I'm the one that has a big impact to help my family support in this decision with me, that I wanted to do it. And I just wanted to start it and see what kind of response I got, because running a hobby is something else, but running a business is totally something else, which I had no knowledge of. But when I got such a kind response from our community, they loved the property, they loved the nature and everything, it really gave me an encouragement. So that is the main reason behind here is preservation mindset. It would spark the idea of creating it. So the younger generations can enjoy it. They won't see those trees anymore. Those are there. And the older generations, they feel really good about it, seeing it still. And I understand that there's a concern that we begin using the land as a venue without an active CPU. I want to clear that the moment was realized this project has potential, we began working towards the compliance, seriously. Because I'll be very honest, I have a lot of coworkers, or they have tons of land. They offer their spaces for backyard weddings. You know, there are a lot of things. I wanted to do everything by the book. I do not want to take shortcuts in anything. So we are not trying to bypass any process, and still we also shared how it was delayed. We were still patient. It's not their fault. It's not our fault either. So we are in good faith, open to everybody's support in it, and fully committed to meeting every requirement we can. As a woman, as a mother, and as a healthcare professional whose work is in the field of breast cancer and imaging, and I have dedicated my life to supporting the others, and this land has become a continuation of this service. I'm the one who personally lead every tour. I design every detail. I'm putting my heart into it. I'm picking everything in it that I will pick for my own house. As my husband says, are you going to charge them that much? Because you wanted to have that chandelier that's going to cost you that much. But at that time, I'm not thinking about profit or anything. I wanted to treat my people as people, not as numbers solely. That's not the whole intention of, because this is, by God's blessing, this is not the only bread and butter for us. And so talking about that, I care deeply about preserving the beauty of this land for others to enjoy, especially as I mentioned, the older generation who remember trees like these and the younger generation who may have never have seen them before. So I hope you will see that we are not here to exploit the land. We are here to protect the land, build our home on it. That is number one woman's dream as a retirement home. And I share its unique beauty with others in a way that respects our neighbors, the community, and the process. And to be honest, guys, I work at this space much harder than at my work. I do work hard there, too, but this is where I love it. This is my therapy because I wanted to do it. So I, again, thank you so much for your time and consideration, and thank you so much. I know there was a lot of personal stuff brought into here, but we want you to know this is a family-owned business. This is a family who cares about what. Thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate each one of you guys to be here for us.
Thank you very much. Is there next speaker?
Hi, my name is Chrissy Johnson, and I have been a going on 15-year resident just down the street from the Sunset Acres. I am less than a mile away, 8318 South Fowler Avenue. I have had the utmost wonderful experience with this family and these people, and they have been, like, I have been witness to seeing the progression of building the property up and making it beautiful, and it is such an enjoyable thing being in that neighborhood and being right there. We get to, you know, see the twinkly lights that they have put up when there is venues or anything going on, even family events, whatever. I've never ever had a complaint about the noise from me and my family, and like I said, we're very close. It's been anything other than that. It's been very, it's been an asset to our neighborhood from my personal experience. I've had my own issues with noise, but from other neighbors in town, actually, that whole thing could be, their whole family could be down there and I wouldn't have a single solitary complaint. I'd also like to attest to the fact that I was also one of the people that was, very fortunate to have been able to get to know them, Gert John, before because we're neighbors, we're a small community. I mean, I'm sure most of you are familiar with Fowler. We're on one street. Our only separation is a cemetery, so there's not much else going there. I lost my dad in December. And they were kind enough to let me have, I didn't have any place that was available to have a memorial service for my father. They did not charge me. It was a neighborly thing. He has come before that. And when they started doing their work and stuff, the extra, you know, like walnut shells and stuff, he would say, hey, you need this for your driveway and drop some off for us. And they've been the utmost wonderful people for their surrounding neighbors and community. They come by, they say hi. He's brought his tractor down to lift stuff up for me if I needed it, because, you know, something in the yard or whatever, a big telephone pole or whatever I needed to move, he came down and said, no problem, I'll do it for you. Again, when he took all the precautions and told me, hey, we need to make sure we had a very small gathering for a celebration of life for my dad. I couldn't have done what we did with the unexpected death that we had. I also work in the community, and I have been working for, I'm a dietary supervisor for our nursing home, so in Fowler. So again, like I said, it was not something that I could have afforded. And so the fact that he was able to just say, hey, you can utilize this space. I got my security. And, you know, he made sure that we did all the things that we're supposed to do, but he did not charge me anything to do any of that. So that being said, I mean, there's been nothing but my highest regards to what they're doing down there. And it's been, I'm looking forward to the fact that when this actually gets open, that we can actually have something like that, because there's nothing like it. I mean, working for where I work, we have places we look for venues just for our Christmas party, and there's nothing to have it. There's nothing that's appropriate or within our area that we would be able to find. And I think it's a beautiful asset to our neighborhood and our community. And I just want to make sure that I voice that. And I've never had any issues with any noise, any traffic. Quite the contrary, they have everything kind of really well contained, and it's an absolute beautiful location. Beautiful. And she's done an amazing job decorating it. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any other speakers to in support? And if I may ask, if you could try to summarize your statements, and appreciate it.
Thank you. Good morning, Commission members and community. My name is Benta Fromm Friesen. I currently reside at 1624 North Cindy in Clovis, California. I'm here today to show my support for the COSA family and their desire to honor and serve the Fowler community in this special way. My family home and property from 1962 until 2020 was adjacent to Sunset Acres at 8745 South Fowler Avenue. My husband and I owned and occupied our own home and farm just a quarter mile away. The Sunset Acres property holds many fond memories from my childhood, although I'll recommend don't let your guests play in the tree that I fell out of and broke my arm when I was in sixth grade. The home has, the town of Fowler has grown a great deal since I was a youngster. That growth has brought many new businesses and families to the area. Fowler would benefit from the venue such as Sunset Acres. The COSA family has improved the property, creating a flexible and inviting locale to celebrate the joyful occasions of the community members. The COSAs are gracious and respectful community members, and I encourage the Commission to consider this request favorably. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other speakers in support? Could I ask how many people plan to speak today?
I think three more.
Okay, well, there's a few on both sides. So if we could try to keep the
good morning,
comments
everyone.
Concise.
Yes, sir. Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank to have at this opportunity to speak over here. I live at 8745 South Fowler Avenue, right beside the Sunset Acres. My name is Gurbir Singh. I've been living here for a while, and meanwhile, they have been preparing and testing, including sounds and lights and everything. Well, I'm very passionate about creativities, and they actually, pardon me, 10 days ago, I just randomly visited with my family to see what kind of place it is. So beautiful, so detailed. Every single thing is considered as a special moment you can take as in pictures of the families. And along with the moments, whoever will be there, they will love and they will feel very positive because the creativities, lights, and ambient they have really created really nice. And COSA family is such a welcoming. They never put any condition for us to not go there. They said we can come anytime, feel the vibe. And every time, every evening, the view is so beautiful. It's incredible view. I think whenever you will have opportunity to be there, you will actually, you know, see the experience. They're really doing good, amazing job. And in the short, I am with the support of this event. It's going to create good jobs and a best addition to the Fowler because it's a very small town. And it's going to bring everyone together and celebrate the moments everyone's going to have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a next speaker, please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Harvey Singh. I'm about probably a couple of miles south of this proposed venue at 7425 East Dinuba Avenue. There was a map shown earlier, and I have a few properties, a couple of properties in around that, almost adjacent to it. I realize they're doing a venue, and I realize they're doing it for commercial reasons, and that's fine. And God bless them. We've known this family for a long time, 40-plus years. My dad and their dads were contemporaries, and they were involved in the building of a couple of the churches here in the valley for our faith. Having said that, my biggest concern, if any, if it's a problem, would be the spraying and the farming of the ground, because we've been there and we've been farming, and all the neighbors are there. But I don't want to have our farming compromised because of what's going on, whether it's on the weekend or weekdays. Typically, I'm downstream and downwind, so it's not going to be a problematic issue for me when I spray or when I farm or when I raise dust. So I wish them the best, and I hope you guys make whatever decision based on whatever parameters you have set. My concern, and my cousin's behind him, he said Ball, and then Ray Moles, Love West, big-time farming operations, Simonians, my neighbors, and schoolmates from Fowler, where I grew up, are to the east and to the south. Everything is fine. It's a beautiful venue. Everything is good, and I hope they're successful, and I hope they do everything, and God bless them. Keep in mind that there's still farming and was farming before this operation started, and so I don't want, as much as I admire what they're doing, wish them the best from a personal perspective, but I don't want to be brought on the carpet somewhere down the line that your sprays affected our people or our venue or somebody suing Harvey Singh. They have deep pockets. Harvey Singh, Brian may know, is the nickel and dime person, so I ain't got that kind of money. So I just want to make sure you do whatever you want to, and I hope they get what they're asking for because they've invested a lot of time and effort, and hopefully their entitlement is the same as mine. Benta, I do agree. She probably did fell out of that tree in sixth grade because she's a classmate of mine. I think I saw the cast at the time, so it's nice to see her and how much she's advanced. But having said that, my biggest concern, if any, and it may not be a concern at all, God, I hope not, that we're not having to impede our farming. That's all. The rest of it, good luck. I've got to go to Yuba City on another matter. Nice seeing everyone, especially Brian, and then good luck to the family.
Thank you.
Old-time family friends, okay? Thank you.
Next speaker in support. Do we have any other speakers in support?
Good morning. My name is Don Talija. I live at 5699 Manning Avenue, which is just southwest of the venue. And I've been watching that place got built, and it's absolutely, like everybody else says, beautiful. When you go inside, there's chandeliers, the whole grounds are perfect. It's well kept, it's beautiful. And as far as the noise, as far as the noise, it's really, I don't even hear it, to be honest with you. I could sit in the living room and watch TV. And if I put it on a movie on pause or whatever, and I go in the kitchen, yeah, maybe I can hear it a little bit. And when I do, I usually open the door because it's most of the time enjoyable. As far as the lighting, absolutely gorgeous. It reminds me somewhat of Disneyland, the way it is with the twinkle lights and all they've got set up. If you haven't been to the venue, you should go out and take a look at it. That place, like I say, it's a big barn. From like a brand new barn, except very elegant, very well done. It's a big asset to the area. So if you have any other questions for me, I think that's about all I got to say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next speaker in support. Okay, if there are no other speakers in support, this would be the time for speakers in opposition. And if they would come forward, and then just a note to the applicant, you'll be given an opportunity to rebut just what's brought up during those comments during opposition. And then if you do make a comment during rebuttal, one person from those opposed will be given an opportunity to surrebut those comments. So this time I'll ask for someone, for those who are opposed to this application, please come forward.
Hello, I'm Laura. I live in Fowler on 9282 South Claremont. So dear Department of Public Works and Planning, the operations of the Sunset Acres should be denied. They have been operating without permission for years. The Sheriff's Office has records of this. They have been operating for two or more years without the required permits to operate a venue. A party venue in an agricultural zone has proven to be more than a nuisance for surrounding properties. The scope and scale of the events held at the Sunset Acres creates multiple city life inconveniences. They have bright lights, music, and DJ announcements that are hosted every weekend. In my opinion, the Sunset Acres venue has moved too quickly by building a new barn or event center capable of hosting large indoor events. I have many concerns regarding the Sunset Acres venue. The location is near the high traffic area of Manning and Fowler. They have removed a reflector placed there by the county to show the stop sign of a four-way stop because they have wanted access to one of the parking lot areas. Another concern I hold near to my heart is this venue may bring a heightened risk of partygoers driving under the influence, as well as the possibility of increased car accidents. After completing a small field study and obtaining signatures in opposition to the Sunset Acres, the overarching message supported by the community was the disappointment and dissatisfaction that they were not following the appropriate permitting steps, rules, and regulations set forth by the county. It appears that the Sunset Acres did not feel the need to follow the procedures before obtaining a permit within the property zoning area. Should the Sunset Acres receive approval from the county, they will continue to expand in whatever capacity they please. In other words, they may feel empowered to sometimes follow the rules or not. There are many things that the Sunset Acres is not in compliance with. It is not right to expect people to follow the rules and let others break them. Some talking points that I saw in their report was the property wasn't vacant for 20 years. I grew up in Fowler. I grew up in my neighborhood for 38 years. I left when I went to college, and I came back to raise my son there. I want him to live in a nice area. It wasn't vacant. They had alpacas. And I believe even a stray dog came into our neighborhood, and I think they took that stray dog. So it wasn't just an abandoned house. It was always, I thought, well-maintained, and maybe their pastures weren't always well-kept, as some may say, but it wasn't vacant. People lived in that home. I might be 1.4 miles away by Google Maps if you take the roads, but a crow fly, I'm a quarter of a mile. So the sounds come into my yard. If I'm having a little barbecue or I'm gardening, I hear them. And their lights, it's like I have a moon landing every night or every weekend in my property. And they are the ones in charge of controlling the decimal reader. I feel they always put from what I'm hearing, they always put their customers first, not the community. They're the ones that are controlling the sound meter, not somebody that is a neutral party. So, of course, it's going to be in the range. And there is a farmer I know that is closer and did not have any knowledge of this venue that was going to occur. They didn't start the proper way. Sorry, I'm really nervous. They did not start the proper way. So to me, I just don't see how are we going to trust them to follow the noise meter. if that they can't even follow the proper getting permits. Even I'm not a business owner, but even I know if I started a business, I have to go and get permits. I know that. And I'm not a business owner. And I didn't know anything about this. I have done a lot of research over the years now, and I've learned a lot about businesses and the town of Fowler and what should be used, like what is in accordance of how the property should be used. I love Fowler. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful town. I want it to remain nice for my child so I can raise them and not have unwanted people in the neighborhood that might not be making good choices near us. So I'm very passionate about this, and I hope that you can see that they did not obtain the permits in the proper way. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker in opposition.
Good morning. My name is Warren Beisel, and I live at 9347 South Claremont in Fowler. And I am a nearby neighbor to the people trying to build the venue here. And according to Google Maps, I believe by road I'm 0.8 miles from the venue. And as a crow flies, of course, much closer. And of course, I want to be sensitive and aware to small businesses such as they're trying to do. You know, I understand that they're trying to, you know, create business, which is something that is important for all of us. But the problem I have is we're in an agricultural zone land, which is offering us many options and choices to conduct business within the rules and regulations set forth that are already set by that zone. And I feel that the approval would degrade, undermine, and dismiss the purpose and value of exclusive agriculturally zoned land to protect the agricultural community from, quote, encroachment on non-related agriculture uses. And just to speak to the inconvenience we get every weekend of lights and noise and microphone announcements, the increased traffic and event litter is something that's now, you know, maybe that's a problem everywhere, but now that's a weekend, in and out weekend problem, not just an occasional problem, because as we all know, large events bring in lots of unwanted people who don't value the areas such as we do. And I'm also worried if they're allowed to do this permanent change, like what else would they do in the future? And then maybe try to get permission to do so later. That's a concern of mine. And I'm not sure, but my understanding is they want to break up the property because under the current rules of the agricultural zone is we're not allowed to build two homes on the property. So I assume that the barn is probably listed as a home. I could be wrong on that. That's just my assumption. But if the property is broken up, you can build another home on the second piece of property without, because the other property is already claimed to have two homes. So that was it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak in opposition?
Thank you. My name is Karis Campbell, and I live at 9403 South Claremont. We have owned that property for 25 years. We wanted to live in the country in an agricultural zone. We don't want to live where there's a lot of noise and a lot of traffic. I did figure it out. We live that little, if you see Springfield there and that little line going up, and if you look at that hypotenuse, we're about 0.55. Right. Oh, okay. Oh, this?
There's another one up here.
Oh, here it is, right here. Oh, could you go back? Or did?
Sorry, I accidentally took it on my folder.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that's big. Okay. We live right there.
Oh, okay.
And we love our peace and quiet. There's almonds and sunset. What is it? B-sweet oranges and grapes and around it. That's the way we want it. We like being outside at night. And that's in the summer. That's the time that we can go out and do our work because it's so hot during the day. We have 2.5 acres. We have rescue donkeys and goats. We don't like going outside and listening to loud music when we're trying to work with our animals or work in our pasture. And people are probably very decent human beings, but they have not respected the rights of others. To say that they got, so I figured it out, we're about 0.55 miles. To say that they had gotten permission or from all of the neighbors is not true. There are 13 houses on that little area. It used to be a winery. It was bought over 40 years ago and converted. None of us on that street have given permission or support for the development of Sunset Acres. None of us. We've talked to them, and they have rejected any effort to quiet down or to respect our rights or to do anything to mitigate the problems. We just want relative quiet. We want peace. We want to get along with our neighbors. We don't want to have this ongoing issue. They have known that they have been out of compliance, and they kept building and building and building. Like one of the previous speakers said, that has not been vacant. I knew the people that lived there very, very well. Their names are Donnie and Kelly Wiggins. They had alpacas as pets. They were also rescues. They had several dogs that were rescues, and they were living in that house. They'd lived there for 20 years. Next door to them, in that second property on the north, was Ben Frum. He had a grove of walnut trees, which were then torn down when the Kosas moved in. He farmed that. He has since died. He was an icon in the Fowler area. He was a really cool guy. Very generous. We got a lot of walnuts from him. So that property was well in use with people who cared about it. The Wiggins have since moved to Florida, and the Kosas bought their property. The area in the south property has been completely fenced in from Fowler Avenue all the way to the back of the property and up with wooden fencing poles. The trees that have been planted on the west side and the north side. On the north side of the property is a cemetery. So, yeah, trees have been planted, but they're not mitigating any noise. The noise is coming towards us, and the trees are very small. They're young trees. They're going to grow, but that's going to take years. Additionally, the barn that was there was torn down. The barn that has been replaced is 3 times the size of that one. You can't see it on this map, but where the alpacas pasture at the front of the property has been all filled in and turned into a parking lot, which has been said before. And I have frequently counted 60 or more cars in that parking lot. So the 20 to 30 cars, I don't know where that comes from. But when I go by and I count it, it's 60 cars quite frequently. That corner at Fowler and Manning is a very dangerous corner. They finally, several years ago, made it a four-way stop because so many people have been killed. And they put up a four-way stop after a semi ran into a family car and killed a mother and her 12-year-old son. That's when they finally did it. Enough people had been killed there.
There are also two large silos that have been placed there. There are two outdoor dance floors that are there. There are numerous lights. There are numerous places where brides and grooms can be photographed. It's a beautiful place. But all of this was done without a permit, knowingly done without a permit. I don't think that should be rewarded. I retired in January, finally. But before that,